Atheist Nomads, episode 171. I am not even going to bother with giving these titles. Just going with the date is just fine. This is news for November 3, 2016.
Yeah, so take that.
The podcast you're about to listen to includes cursing and talking about hoo-haws. Please be advised.
We are the Atheist Nomads, bringing you history, science, politics, religion, and interviews with leaders in the atheist community. Not all those who wander are lost. Welcome to another episode of Atheist Nomads. I am Dustin. Joining me as always is Wesley.
Hello. Hey, everybody.
I'm amused.
And joining us is Lauren.
Hey.
What's up?
So we were going to try it. We tried to get a comedian to join us tonight, but that didn't work out. He stopped responding, so I'll try again later.
Oh,
he,
God.
He just... has a one-year-old, so...
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Little, wow, good wee little him. Finnegan.
Yeah.
That's all right. Anybody who names their kid Finnegan is all right with me.
But we will get him on eventually. Yes, yes, we will. Ooh. Yeah, Bucky is almost calming down. That's good.
Happy, Halloweens for those of you who celebrated Halloween and All Saints Day.
We did twice.
For Roman Catholics out there, and, Day of the Dead for...
Dios los Muertos.
Los Muertos.
Yeah.
Good times. It's been a fun week.
Halloween party with all our friends, and it was awesome.
Sweet.
Then we went to... That was on Saturday, then Monday we went to another bar that was really cool and fun, and we love going there. Anyways, more costume stuff.
Yeah, we went to a party Saturday night, and then last night...
We were up till 11.
Nice!
We're adults.
Last night we
stay
actually
up all
had...
Night.
We're recording this on Tuesday, so last night being Halloween, we actually had trick-or-treaters come to our door.
Oh boy.
We
did
had
you guys dress up
time.
At all?
A total... Of four trick-or-treaters.
Nice.
There's
five.
You've got a lot of candy left over.
In the second.
It was me. I was so tempted to just dump the entire bowl into one of the kids' bags just to get rid of all the candy.
We also had our 50 or so year old neighbor.
She just turned 55, I believe.
Okay. Yeah. She was our first trick-or-treater.
Yeah, she was awesome.
She's not counted in the other groups we mentioned, but yeah. But I'm counting her. We had trick or treaters.
Adults
to our doors
are taking
three
back
times.
Halloween. I think they should go start trick or treating too.
Fuck yeah,
trick or drinking,
or trick or treating for those of you who are not alcohol drinkers but want diabetes.
Alcohol can contribute to diabetes as well.
I think Halloween is officially a celebration of the lightest that you are going to be for the rest of the year.
Did you guys dress
here.
Up at all?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was what half ghoul, half glam.
And I was a Wolverine. Or no. I was a werewolf.
Werewolf. Nice.
With what ended up happening with my hair, I decided that for yesterday I would do Wolverine, and I did not get enough product in my hair. And so
it looked like Wolverine had like combed down his hair for a date.
Oh.
It was cute.
Or that he was
or sad.
Sad.
Womp,
droopy
womp.
In the rain.
So I was Porco Rosso, which is a Studio Ghibli, Hayao Miyazaki written, directed character film. And MJ was the log lady from Twin Peaks, which she was fucking amazing.
And she won an award for it, right?
She did. She kicked her. Company's costume gala. She like killed it.
Yeah, nice. And none of that would have happened if she hadn't had a stuffed log pillow.
I know.
It's amazing that this stuff even exists. But there you go. You can get a log pillow.
You totally can. It feels really good when you caress it. I love caressing a little pillow.
Everybody's got that pillow.
It's kind of weird how much I like touching the pillow.
No, I totally understand. I've got my pillows right here. Dustin loves to pet them.
Let's go ahead and move on to some news. A group of educators were assigned to streamline the Texas science curriculum standards, and parts of the changes they have recommended were to remove the parts that dealt with creationism and having to teach the, quote, controversy.
Woo!
What? Say it ain't so.
This will be up for a vote before the Texas Board of Education in the spring, and it would likely pass with the current board makeup of 6 religious conservatives, 6 moderates, and 3 swing voters. That's right. No liberals.
It's Texas.
But the results of next week's election will actually decide how this one goes.
I'm excited. This is a big win if it goes through. It's a big loss if it doesn't.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and
it can go really bad really quick, but let's be hopeful.
So, Wesley, how did your public school handle teaching of evolution?
We just did it. It was normal, and that was a thing. I mean, we didn't have any talk about, here's this alternative over here. So, yeah, I mean, it was just like a, put your head down. Here's like a science book, and we will teach the not controversy. Here's evolution. This is kind of what happened. We don't know everything yet, but we're getting there.
How that about kind you? Of thing. You were in a religious high school.
Right. Me, so no. Middle yeah. school, we yeah. had anti-evolution propaganda.
Okay. Carbon dating is bullshit. And
yeah, the 44,000-year-old clam from carbon dating, despite the fact that that was explained as it was in a 44,000-year-old carbon deposit. Or living right next to a old carbon deposit, so the dating was off. And you don't do carbon dating on something that old. That's past the range of carbon dating. So it was bullshit anyway. But yeah, so there was stuff like that, and they did not they didn't teach anything about evolution. It was all about how it's wrong, and it's kind of weird to get. It's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong without ever getting what is wrong.
What is it, even?
Yeah. So then high school biology, we had to, middle school, we were able to use Seventh Adventist Church North American Division produced textbooks. High school, Ooh. We couldn't. We had to use the state-approved
State textbook approved.
Because Oregon is very, very particular in high school standards. And so the state-approved textbook had Chapter 4 on evolution. And we finished Chapter 3, and the teacher said, okay, we're now moving on to Chapter 5. And she piled on 3 times as much homework to make sure that nobody had time to go back and read Chapter 4.
Oh.
That kind of sucks. Okay.
So then...
Doubly sucks. Wow.
I didn't actually get a good presentation of evolution until I was at the seminary... was taking issues and origins, and they presented a watered-down 1970s version of evolution to try to poke holes in. And I went to the Field Museum to see the Egypt exhibit. They had a King Tut exhibit, actually, right then. They also had Our Evolving Earth. And I went through that exhibit, and it was like, oh, this is actually well thought out and makes sense. Wow. Okay. Yeah. With enough time, this stuff would be possible. And by the end, the issues and origins class.
And then you were burning Bibles and cursing people and killing babies.
And the issues and origins class was also like, they eventually got to the point where it was like, okay, yeah, if you look at this, we don't have a lot to counter evolution. And they didn't even touch on genetic evidence. So. What the professor did, and it was team taught by a theologian and a scientist. I don't remember which department he was from. I don't think it was the biology department. They team taught the class, and the theologian got up, and he had this whole PowerPoint presentation with charts of how without creation, there is no salvation.
Oh, goodness.
And that was the only compelling argument they made during the entire class.
Wow. Well, that makes sense because that was the education that was chosen for you.
For the pastors.
Yes.
What was so the reason for this class?
There's no excuse for what you got in high school.
Right, right. What they were going for with the seminary class was they didn't want pastors to get out in the field and be surprised.
Right.
Granted, anybody who got out in the field and then heard about genetic evidence for evolution would have been surprised.
Okay, well, I know what to bring up first next time we get a... I had an interesting mix of the two, where, yes, we were taught about evolution, but we were taught about things that were wrong with it, how he was only teaching it because he had to. There was this other theory. He breezed over creationism, didn't even, like, barely even mentioned it, and then talked about the quote-unquote ludicrous little green man theory. So out of the three, the creationism, the one he talked least about, seemed the most credible.
Wow.
And this was in seventh grade. And I got home and told my mom about it, and yeah, he got in big trouble.
Good.
Not fired, not actually punished in any way. In fact, he could still be teaching it to this day. But yeah, that's what I got in public school.
Sure.
Yeah.
That they did carbon dating on a seal that had been dead for a week, and it showed it like over a million years old, and so obviously carbon dating is false. I don't know where he's getting that stuff, but
yeah, the main one I got was the clam. That's a favorite, and yeah, it's easily explained, and it wasn't carbon dating.
I mean, come on, carbon dating's best at stuff less than 6,000 years old.
Uh-huh. Yeah, up to about 15,000, not 44,000.
Well, we know that now.
We knew that then. There's other radiometric dating you do for later, which is what they did on that clam, and it was like, yeah, and if you look at the calcium deposit that it's in, oh yeah.
That the clam was actively filtering.
Uh-huh.
Because actively, that's what clams do.
Actively getting its calcium from was, yeah, it was old. It was old calcium. So no wonder. And most of the rest of the stuff they covered in like in Issues and Origins, like, I think they did have that one. But like there was some where it was really just trying to poke little tiny holes in these couple of points. Like there was one where a creationist had gone to this lake bed that had been thought to have taken millions of years to fill, and he was able to prove that one lake bed in Colorado, no, it only took 1,000 years.
Yeah.
Okay. That can happen.
Okay, yeah.
We had the Missoula flood. And
uh-huh. That one creationist happened to help address an error in a single localized area, but nobody cares about localized. It's about the big picture.
Exactly. Nobody cares. Yeah. Wesley, you've got the next story.
I do. Oh, goodness.
But let's take our first break first.
Oh, sorry.
All right.
Atheist Nomads is proudly brought to you by Archway Hosting. Check out their low-price, full-featured hosting solutions at archwayhosting.com. That's ARCHWAY hosting.com.
Hey, we're also brought to you by listeners just like you. Find out how you can become a patron at patreon.com/atheistnomads. That's patreon.com/atheistnomads.
So I titled this little bit, Fear Me, Fear My Father. I'm pretty sure most people out there have heard of those lovely things called hell houses that, mm-hmm. you know, those good God-fearing Christians like to put on, you know, around Halloween.
Yeah, yeah.
And there is this Tyrone Tapler Productions that wanted to put one up in a Chicago public school, a elementary school, as a matter of fact. This one was kind of special and fucked up in so many serious fucking ways. They put out casting calls because they wanted to have good Christians in these scenes reenacting the Pulse shooting that happened in Orlando where Ooh. 50 people died. They wanted to have Dylan Root and the massacre at the church in South Carolina. And, you know, the standard ones like abortions and other stuff that, you know, that's going to fucking send you to hell if you don't like shape up. So, thankfully, as soon as the school found out about this, they canceled it immediately. They put out the announcement on the 28th. The event had been canceled, and I really hope that it was too late for this Hell House in particular to find another venue. But holy shit, that is so fucked up.
Wow.
That's kind of the point, though, right?
Oh, sure.
That they go to the most extremes, shocking. Yeah.
Well, going with recent events and the ones they picked, it was a Muslim and a Christian who were the shooters. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I loved that they picked, you know, the Dylan Root, who is a, you know, by all standard rights, a good Christian.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, they put out a notice on Facebook asking for volunteers, Pulse Club, dancers, victims, caged people, screamers, extras needed to escape a cage. Sounds interesting? Come out this Saturday. Fucking really?
But realistically, this isn't that different than passion plays.
I mean, it's not all that different from standard Hell Houses. They pick, you know, events that happened recently to you know, scare people straight into, you know, being good little Christians. But
that's fucked up, because it's taking actual tragedies and making light of them.
Using them for their own purposes.
Yeah.
Despite how the victims may feel. Yeah.
But even more fucked up with it is they were wanting to do this at a public school.
I'm so glad that the elementary school is supposedly, like, as soon as they found out, it was like, oh shit, no, we need this out.
Jeez. Way to go.
Man, because, like, well, when was it supposed to be happening?
Around Halloween. They didn't give
probably
an exact
this last
date.
Weekend. Saturday.
If it was a weekend, that would have been easier than, say, okay, yeah, if they're using, this says in here, 10 rooms. Yeah, that'd be a lot harder to do on a school night.
Oh, yeah, they weren't doing it during.
I'm sure it would have been like Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Ugh.
That's
freaky. Anyway. Yeah,
that's messed up.
Yeah. So, all I can say is, again, is fuck you. But this really hurts. I mean, fuck, that just struck me hard. Anyways, oi.
Man. All right. Bundy brothers and five co-defendants were acquitted by a jury at the U.S. District Court in Portland, Oregon.
Boo!
The charges, and there were quite a few charges, but the main two, at least for the large group, was possession of firearms on federal property and conspiracy to prevent government workers from doing their jobs. The U.S. attorney thought this was going to be slam dunk easy. I was listening to Opening Arguments, good podcast, check it out, openargs.com, I believe. They did there's an actual lawyer on the show, and they talked about this in their most recent episode. And one of the things he pointed out was the firearms charges were all related to and pinned to the conspiracy charge.
Oh, so once the conspiracy charge fell through.
Because if the conspiracy fell through, then because they were all, you know, possession of firearms to do violence, the violence being the conspiracy. And the defense that they had was that they were armed because they would have been arrested immediately if they weren't.
Which is, you could say that for anybody, robbing a bank or murdering somebody.
But they didn't really need to defend themselves against the firearm charges because they hadn't even ever thought about keeping people from doing their jobs.
Yeah, obviously.
So,
because when you have, you know, that many people walking around a Federal Reserve in your building, you just feel like doing your job.
Well,
as a federal employee.
It was off season. Nobody was even, well,
there wouldn't have been many people working.
I wouldn't say there was nobody there, because there were, but.
And people, well, there wasn't anybody there when they took it over. And I do believe they hadn't thought about the fact, made it a goal of theirs to prevent people from doing their jobs.
I don't think it was a goal, but I think they thought about it.
The U.S. attorney picked a bullshit charge.
Yeah, what it comes down to is the prosecution dropped the ball.
Prosecution, yes. Yes, I totally agree with that.
They thought this would have been the easiest one to get a conviction on. They should have gone for something harder, and it... Oh, man.
It really fucking pisses me off, because this is already... emboldening one of the guys. Oh fuck, please keep on talking. I gotta find the story real quick.
Yeah, this is well, so one of the things that was crazy was when they announced the verdict, the attorney for Ammon Bundy started screaming at the judge to release him now, when no, the Bundy brothers weren't getting released because they have another trial in Nevada coming up next year.
Why was the attorney yelling?
He was. And the judge told him to calm down. He refused.
Didn't he get tased?
He got tased because he freaked out so much. This was an attorney in federal court who won his case.
This is, it's like he was so expecting to not win that he had his defense already like was skyrocketed. Like...
Yes,
it's like when people think that they're going to win an award and they walk up there and they get the award and then they realize it was somebody else's. It's like he was so expecting to be thrown in jail right away that he was just like, but he was the attorney. The attorney can walk away at any time. Uh-huh.
I mean, one of the guys the original Bundy standoff. One of the guys that's about to get sentenced wanted to rescind his plea deal so that he could try the case again, essentially.
Right, because some of them did plead guilty.
Yeah, and, you know, he's like, oh, fuck it. You know, if all those guys got off on those charges, I want to try it again.
Yeah, exactly.
Roll the dice.
Now
and
awful
the judge
precedent.
Shouldn't fucking let him, because, you know what, you had your chance.
Mm-hmm. But what this is doing is it's the fact that they were able to occupy that facility for...
And destroy it.
What was it,
days?
A month?
Yeah.
Over
41
month,
days, I believe.
Yeah. Without any opposition. That, for one, emboldened right-wing radicals.
Oh, yeah.
And the whole reason that was the response was because they didn't want to embolden white right-wing radicals. They did it anyway. It was when you're dealing with terrorists, you are damned if you do and damned if you don't.
Yeah.
Man,
well,
they
it'd
should
be
have
damn sight better to put him in jail.
They should have been charged with something far more serious, because they were in open rebellion against the U.S. government. They had seized federal property. They
destroyed federal property.
Yeah, destroyed federal property. They destroyed sacred native sites. They took up arms against their government.
I don't know the win-loss record of the prosecution team, but they should have been bringing their fucking A game to this, and it seems like they didn't.
Well, honestly, with the original standoff, it should have been declared an insurrection, which it was, which would have allowed the president to repeal habeas corpus and send the army in.
Which is exactly what they said was going to happen, which would have made their point justified.
It should have happened.
It should have still happened. Because
they would have surrendered, they would have been arrested, and they would have then gotten their
trial.
That's
like getting mad at the police for interrupting your burglary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, if you guys do this, then you're just going to prove that I was stealing stuff. And it's like, yeah, you were. We could see it. We're going to arrest you now. See, I told you so. Point proven.
But yeah, I testified in a federal, or not a federal, excuse me, it was a state, but it was a felony case when I lived in Tacoma. And yeah, it was multiple charges. They find everything they can, normally they find everything they can pin you with. And like, so this guy had, I think it was two felonies and three misdemeanors. And my only involvement was to tie him to the gun. That was it.
Hmm.
That was all they needed me for, because all of these charges were all linked together. And if you have all of, if you get one, you get them all. And, oh man, they could have handled this one so much better. Oh, I hope that U.S. attorney gets fired. God damn.
Hooray for justice.
Yeah. All right. Wesley.
Oh, God, it's my turn again. What the fuck? Okay, so I had a clever name for this one, too, as I recall. Poking holes in Pence's morals. Yeah, this is just kind of a discussion, a slash rant. Think Progress put out an article recently talking about Mike Pence put ideology before science and the people of Indiana suffered. Totally agree with that. One of the examples that they were using was the county, basically the small county in Indiana that was basically crumbling beneath IV injection users and the rate of AIDS, HIV going way up because of, well, dirty needles, people using them over, passing them around. And you know what? Shit gets spread that way.
And we have a giant heroin epidemic right now. So, yeah, yeah.
And yeah, apparently Indiana is in the fucking thick of that. Of course, Mike Pence has a, actual policy saying, you know, no needle exchange. But, you know, thankfully he lifted that policy just a little bit so that the county could, you know, try it out. And yeah, guess what? One, it works. Two, Mike Pence still made the fucking county pay for everything because, you know what? That's just what a cash strapped county in the fucking backwoods Indiana needs is, you know, well, not money to pay to for syringes.
Right. Oh man. Yeah. And when you look at it from,
and this is completely because of his beliefs.
Oh yeah.
His lack of scientific understanding and his religious beliefs.
These are terrible sinners and they deserve the outcome of their sin.
Except for all the innocent people that are hurt in the process.
Yeah, well, like their
family members. No such thing as an innocent person.
Oh, right. Right.
You know, as someone who lost a family member to heroin overdose, yeah, there's innocent victims. it's been 4 years and it still sucks.
Yeah, not cool, Pence. Not cool.
But you know, part of this is this problem they're having there is the HIV outbreak. That's one that if there's treatment that is expensive but highly effective, and the alternative is a whole bunch of people who are going to be very sick on Medicaid for end of life care. That's more expensive for the state. Prevention is so much cheaper than any cure.
It was like that program, was it Colorado or Nevada, where they get handed out birth control to teenagers? Colorado. And the program worked, but they shut it down anyway because they didn't have the money, apparently,
right, or something. Well, the source of the money on that was one wealthy donor who put money into a trust to fund it for 5 years for just the poorest counties in Colorado. And teen pregnancy rates dropped to like a quarter. Abortion rates dropped by 40%. It's amazing. You give women
prevention IUDs is cheaper.
If you want to solve problems like abortion and
drug use
and all of that, there's ways to do it, and it's reduced demand, not punish people. And I should clarify, I don't mean abortion as a problem. I mean, nobody likes
drugs on that one,
and drugs is the main focus, but it's always ends up being tied in with these this type of religious bullshit. But you know, abortion isn't necessarily a problem, but I think everybody'd be happier if it was needed less.
Yeah,
if birth control was like way more available, then I'm betting the need for abortions would probably go down. If just seems simple.
And if One of the biggest things you can do with some of those needle exchange programs is it at least creates some kind of a connection with a site where there's medical professionals that can help you if you decide it's time to get clean.
Yeah, I'm sure they're, you know, covered with brochures and all sorts of contacts. Or at least if they should be, if they had the money for it.
Yeah. And staff on hand that can talk to them. That's the way it should be run.
I mean, the staff was also talking about, like, people's, when you're using dirty needles, I mean, you're more prone to get, like, really bad abscesses and infections. And, you know, that's, even stuff like that was way reduced. I mean, it's just gross.
Well, and drug addicts aren't likely to have health insurance.
Probably not.
And when people without health insurance get really sick, they go to the hospital.
Well, the emergency room.
The ER. And that's incredibly expensive. And then they can't pay the bills. So guess who gets to? Everyone else.
Republicans should hate that.
Yeah.
So you know what's cheaper? Little programs like this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Well, keeping with Indiana, we previously reported on Ken Park Thang, the Indianapolis mother who beat her 7-year-old son with a coat hanger. At the time, she was trying to use the state's, at the time we last reported on this, that is, she was trying to use the state's Religious Freedom Restoration Act as her defense when asking for the felony charges of battery on a person less than 14 years old and neglect of a dependent to be dropped. The judge did deny her request, but she got a plea bargain, leaving her with misdemeanor battery with moderate bodily injury and 1 year of probation.
Yeah, still not enough.
No, not when you see the bruises that were on that kid's body.
A 7-year-old. She claimed cultural differences. She is a refugee from Cambodia, but still...
That doesn't excuse child abuse.
Yeah.
It's like that may have been how you were raised, but you've got to end the cycle somewhere. And moving to a new country that has laws, maybe that's just a little push in the right direction.
36 deep purple bruises is what the boy had. It was found when a teacher patted him on the back and he winced. Because apparently she was smart enough to make sure that the bruises could all be covered with clothing.
Oh, yeah.
That means it was planned like that. It's pretty evil.
Oh, and do you know what prompted this in the first place?
Oh, I'm sure goodness. Something super terrible, like the kid killed the family pet or something.
No, nothing that bad. So she has two children, a 7-year-old son and a 3-year-old daughter. They were up in the upstairs bathroom showing each other their genitals. So she caught them, drugged them downstairs, demanded that they pray for forgiveness, and she beat her son.
Wow. That's pretty messed up. I can definitely kind of see where she was coming from in a backward sort of way. But that's one of those things where as a refugee, you have to accept the laws of the country you're in, and we have pretty strict laws against child abuse.
We're going to go ahead and take a break and then be back with more.
We love hearing from our listeners. You can email us at contact@atheistnomads.com, tweet us @atheistnomads, send us a message on our Facebook page at facebook.com/atheistnomads, or better yet, call us and leave us a message at 541-203-0666. We might even play it on the show. You can also help us out by leaving us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcast directory of choice.
By the way, we want more voicemails.
Yes, we do.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we don't get enough of those.
We don't get enough voices in our heads.
What?
Speak for yourself.
Because I'm listening with stereo headphones.
Oh, right. Yes, okay. Wesley, you're up.
Oh, my God.
No, he's not. He's Asia.
So,
Wesley,
yeah, pretending
Europe,
to be racist,
Europe.
Still. What?
I had to explain my joke.
Got it. Okay.
Okay. So pretending to be racist still makes you racist.
Yeah.
Newsflash.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Halloween and all that. Hooray. Lots of fun. But you know what? Probably don't pretend to be Bill Cosby and put on blackface and put on a Cosby sweater from the 80s. You know, that's probably a bad idea.
That's a wee bit bad.
Yeah, just like a frat bro, Brock Denton, because I will name and shame like a motherfucker, got expelled from, suspended from his college, and Sigma Tau Gamma chapter of his frat is being investigated also, so that makes me kind of happy.
Oh, man.
Wow.
And, yeah, more Halloween happiness down in Miami-Dade, where
Before we move on to that one.
Sure.
In case this isn't completely clear.
Yeah.
Blackface is not cool.
Redface, not cool. Yellowface, yeah. Probably not cool either.
Yeah, yeah. Don't
go out on a limb there.
just don't.
Holy shit.
If you're thinking about it, just don't.
Don't. No. There's never a time that that's cool. And you know what? It's probably also not ever a good time to Halloween as a fucking rapist. I'm just going to put that out there too.
Yeah. Well, yeah, especially with a frat. Since frats are known for being rapey. Yeah.
Yeah. Probably not a good thing. Apparently, Denton has been getting death threats, threats to burn his house down, and he's scared for his life. He had a lengthy and air-filled Instagram post, which has since been deleted, and his Instagram is now deleted completely.
Oh. But,
okay, he doesn't deserve to get his life threatened. What he did was stupid, but it wasn't criminal.
Actually probably did happen. So he does, there is a update to this since I first found the story. Apparently he still remains at the school, according to the spokesman, but is expelled from the frat. Well,
which, because frats are private organizations, they get to do that.
Well, I'm sure the school still has their choice of who they teach.
Yes. God damn.
I'm sure he's learned his lesson.
Yeah, obviously.
Holy crap.
A white student at University of Central Arkansas. Yeah, I'm sure he's never had privilege down there. Seriously, white male. In a Cosby sweater.
Seriously, in a Cosby sweater.
Yeah.
There was a story I saw on YouTube recently with a kid that was probably like, I think he was 12, lived in upstate New York, and for a presentation he had to do for school, he put on a suit.
Cool.
Fake mustache.
Okay.
Blackface, and did Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech.
The first two were great.
Okay, so what do you do when you are a kid and you're trying to represent somebody that you admire, such as Martin Luther King Jr., President Obama?
Just give the fucking speech.
Dress up, give the speech.
I can see that probably happening in a lot of schools where, well, not a lot, but a few, where a kid innocently thought that they could just dress up.
The line between modeling something for a presentation about someone you admire and doing a caricature of a marginalized group is so thin.
It is really thin.
If you're coming from a position of power, or right there, I mean, as a white person, that's your line. You don't cross that. Because you're gonna be fucking some shit up really bad right there. Oh yeah, and don't fucking hang anybody in effigy on your fucking property.
Oh right, because
just like Miami-Dade weird people do.
Yeah.
One family did. And apparently he says it's not racist because even though, you know, they're questionably look like they might be dressed up as quote-unquote urban people or black people, per the articles I read, it looks pretty fucked up.
Lynching is a very sensitive topic in America. Uh-huh. Therefore, if it is at all anything lighter than the shade of white, do not have them hanging from a tree.
You know what? If it's not a fucking skeleton, probably don't.
I've seen skeleton ghouls' bodies hanging out of Halloween tree, you know, for Halloween all the time, but don't do a colored one.
I really think that even the days of just hanging a skeleton is over.
Aww. We had neighbors.
There's no end to the skeleton hate.
We had neighbors that hung some skeletons from their trees, and yeah. I thought that seemed in poor taste.
Oh, because yeah. It looked kind of lynchy.
Yeah.
Well, it kind of is.
It is
lynchy. You don't you don't hang anything that looks like a human body from a tree.
Okay, that's fair enough. I was going to say, but people, the hanging part is, but from a tree, yeah, no, that's lynchy.
If you're going to build gallows and hang a cowboy from it.
Oh, can we do that next year?
No.
Oh, no. Come on. We even have the little hat.
No.
Yeah. Oh.
No.
Okay, the hat would be cute, but no. There was way more black cowboys than you ever think. Just putting that out there, like at least a third, if not more.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But the yeah, just no hanging. No hanging.
Yeah. Okay. Hanging out. Okay. Hanging bad.
Hanging out, guys. It just reminds me of that painting that we have still up in that Idaho building of the Native American lynching.
Oh, God. Is it like fucking Parks and Rec painting shit?
It is. Seriously. I thought that they were maybe basing that entire episode on Idaho.
Well, and what makes it even weirder, Parks and Rec, at least it was portraying a historical event in their community. The one in Idaho is not based on anything that happened in Idaho.
It was just artistic expression. From some guy in California. It's like, this is Idaho.
Oh, God,
lynching.
I'm laughing because I'm uncomfortable.
It is. It's so uncomfortably laughable.
And when that was presented, so the immediate response should have been, that is offensive, you terrible, horrible person.
It's been hanging up there forever.
We are not paying you for that. Please leave.
No, it has been up there for like something like 90 years or something. It's insane.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It's old. It's an old painting.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's funny. That's Idaho for you.
Different era potatoes and lynching. No longer acceptable to say, just give it a pass.
The building it's in is the old Capitol, right?
No, it's an old, like an administration building or something. But
Or was it City Hall once?
Maybe it was City Hall.
Yeah. It's bad. It's bad.
Wow. Now it's a lawyer's school. Something I don't remember. Anyway,
yeah, Idaho State University's.
Unless I actually
extension.
Know, I'm not going to say.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. Let's.
Let's talk about vaccinations.
Take another break, and then we have some sciencey stuff.
Sure. Break. Good.
As a listener of the show, I'm going to assume you love my sexy vocal stylings. If you love the rest of the show as much as my voice, consider giving us the resources we desperately need to purchase quality cocaine and Red Bull. We make it super easy to make a one-time donation or to support us on a per-episode, monthly, or even annual basis using PayPal or Patreon. Find out more at atheistnomads.com. Use the links on the right side of the page. $1 an episode is all we ask.
New studies have found that subacute sclerosing pencephalitis
fucking nailed it
is
bro.
A lot more common than thought.
That was lightning.
This is caused by the measles virus surviving and laying dormant in the brain for many years, then becoming active again once the victim is later in childhood or an adult. It is untreatable and always fatal. This was thought to affect 1 in 100,000 kids who survived measles. But the new studies, one in Germany and one in California, have found that it actually affects 1 in 1,400 kids who contracted measles under the age of 5. And in California, they have seen the rate at 1 in 600.
Wow.
That is sick. Literally.
That is get your kids
vaccinated.
1 in 100,000.
You do not want to mess with that.
Yeah. And this article from NBC News about it actually spends a lot of time on, yeah, this is why it is so important to get vaccinations on time, because kids, babies can't get MMR. You have to wait till one.
Yeah.
They're even advising in here, don't take a infant to Europe because measles has not been eradicated from Europe. Yeah, it's eradicated here. We do get the occasional importation of it. It spreads, and because we still have high vaccination rates, if you're superstitious, knock on wood now, because it hasn't hit a particularly vulnerable population yet of anti-vaxxers. But in Europe, it's still endemic.
What's scary here is that people who often don't vaccinate their kids will point to survivors as proof that they don't need to.
Mm-hmm.
This affects survivors.
Yeah.
So that's not, just because you survived it doesn't mean that you're in the clear. So get your vaccinations.
Yeah. The like standard, oh, measles are fine, is, oh, it's not much worse than chickenpox. Well, chickenpox isn't good either.
Yeah. The fevers can cause you to have brain damage.
Brain damage. It can, it'll come back late in life as shingles, which are, from what I understand, one of the most miserable things that can ever happen to you. And in a small percentage of cases, it can cause type 1 diabetes.
Yeah.
In children.
So
you don't want that.
We had chickenpox parties. We didn't get the vaccines. They weren't out yet.
Okay. Yeah. I
but
remember
if you can,
hearing about those.
Get the vaccine. Yeah. It's just that simple. And yeah, just
the one weird kid in the neighborhood gets chicken pox, and then all the parents bring their kids over to get them sick too.
Yeah.
For me, it was my cousin. I was probably 4 or 5, and I didn't get it. I touched the sores. We drank from the same glass. My mom did everything that had worked to spread it with my siblings. I did not come down with it. And then when I was 12.
Ooh.
Well, that's definitely worse.
Didn't know anybody that had chicken pox.
Spontaneous chicken pox?
Developed chicken pox. Had a mild case for about 4 days. Don't know why I didn't get it the first time, but obviously I did get it. I just didn't develop symptoms.
Yeah, I just lay dormant.
Yeah.
Which is what's terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Duh.
Oh, man.
So in honor of the Halloween week, I found the article about brains. Yay, brains! Dinosaur brains! Some beachcomber in England back in 2004 found a rock in a tidal pool and thought it was pretty cool, so he sent it off to wherever beachcombers send their rocks off to. And this sounds dirty. And what they found was that it was actually the first known brain tissue of a dinosaur to have ever been unearthed.
That is crazy.
Okay, to be first to ever be described by science. I suppose somebody could have found one somewhere. But it's about the size of a palm. And if you look really closely, you can see the blood vessels and you can see the folds. And it is really cool. It was just described this last week at the Salt Lake City Convention for Vertebrate Paleontology.
Sweet.
Super cool. This stuff is super rare. You don't get soft tissue fossils very often. What they think happened was the dinosaur, which was one of those aquatic plant-eating dinosaurs, they think, died suddenly, fell down into some kind of pool where its brain essentially got pickled. And then the tissue was replaced with rock, as fossils tend to do. And so this pickled brain became fossilized, and we have what is there now. And it's pretty cool.
That is fascinating.
Even though pickles and piss sound a lot alike yeah. apparently. Oh, so that's really cool.
Wow.
Score one for beachcombing.
Yeah, who thought that would ever be cool? Yeah, fucking metal detectors and short pants and
hey, look at
socks
this cool
and sandals.
Who would have picked up a rock and said, hey, that looks like a brain? And then actually
and send
then it to
sent
somebody?
It into somebody.
That's insane. There must be rules about beachcombing in England because they're finding fossils all the time there. Some sad news. In October, the latest Martian reconnaissance orbiter crashed into the red planet. And its debris has finally been photographed by satellite imagery. Apparently, the ship parachute went out too early, and the thrusters may have misfired, causing the orbiter to crash land into the red planet.
Yep.
They lost contact with it just minutes before it was supposed to land, and they finally found the remains. It's
sad.
Yeah, this
was a joint European Space Agency Roscosmos project.
Yeah, so
fortunately it was two spacecraft, the orbiter and the lander, and the orbiter is fine, so it's not a complete loss.
Oh yeah, just the lander crashed, that's right.
Seems they think that one of the hydrazine propellant tanks might have exploded, but
that's why I said they think the thrusters may have misfired. They didn't really specify. They don't know yet exactly what happened.
Yeah, I suppose you call an explosion a misfire.
Yeah, I would call it that. The last one we're going to talk about, we were talking about a little bit before the show, and this is an interesting one, especially as a woman. Mm. There has been a study that has been looking at hormonal birth control for men in, what did you say, Indonesia and Chile.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been cut off. Because apparently too many men quit the study because the side effects were too bad. Now, we're not talking about explosive diarrhea. We're not talking about possibility of death. We're talking about mood swings, acne, mild discomforts is how I would put it.
Pain around the injection site.
Which you get because they just stabbed you with a needle. Anyway,
Yeah,
I gotta say, this kind of sounds like the effects that women have from birth control generally. Just putting
yes.
that out there so far.
Yes, exactly. So what women have been dealing with for 50 years, men had a small taste of it and didn't like it, so they canceled the study, taking away a possibility of a very useful tool of population control from everybody. Because we want male birth control.
Yeah, well, and what's been interesting watching the development over the years is the like silicone injections and the vas deferens were unreliable and not always reversible. Some cases it would cause such severe scarring that it would leave the man permanently infertile, and in other cases it would fail unpredictably anywhere from 1 to 3 years after the initial injection. Which the goal was for it to last 3 years. Because when you're actually getting injected through the scrotum, that's not something you want to have happening too terribly often.
No, not every 3 months for that one, huh?
Yeah, yeah. So then there was one looking at, I think the next one was, that one was in India. I think there was one in China that was looking at blocking a protein needed to produce healthy sperm. Mm. And up to that point, they hadn't found anything that protein was needed for in any other way in the body. So they figured out something that you just take a pill and it prevents that protein from forming. And it turned out it caused other health problems. Like, that is actually an important protein for other functions in the body. So,
well, there's only one way to find out. Let's turn it off and see what happens.
So that one failed. And now they're... At least they were smart enough because they knew if you just inject enough testosterone, you can stop sperm from forming. But if you inject that much testosterone, you're also going to be causing roid rage.
Roid rage!
And
you probably can't get it up anyways.
Most likely permanent sterility by just shutting down the testicles. You can do chemical castration with huge amounts of testosterone. And so... they were able to cut down the amount of testosterone by using progesterone as well. And apparently it was...
What did they say, 97% efficacy?
95% effective.
That's pretty damn good.
So there were four pregnancies during the course of the study.
That's definitely way over a number that I would be saying, hey, you know what, let's study this more.
I would say definitely worth more study. Like, okay, if it's that effective at that level, what happens if you change the hormone concentrations and ratios? Tweak that a little bit, see if you can increase the effectiveness, because, you know, hormonal contraceptive for women is generally considered to be 97% effective because it's not perfectly taken. If it's perfectly taken, it's about 99% effective.
99.9%.
Yeah.
It's one of those kind of
things. If you take it at the same time every day, the entire time you're on it. With an injection, you don't have the compliance angle on effectiveness. So the goal should be 99.9%. But 95% effectiveness, that's still better than a condom.
Yeah, exactly.
Even a condom that is always
way better than
perfectly.
The pull-out method, which shouldn't even be called a method anymore.
80% effectiveness,
spray and pray method,
isn't that effective.
No.
Yeah.
But what I got away from this is that men need to not drop out of studies because of minor inconveniences and mood swings. And also, women's birth control must be a lot worse than we thought it was, and they need to make them with a lot less side effects.
Or fucking man up and get your nuts cut off. Like
that's what I was trying to avoid saying, but I'm glad someone said it. Man up and get your testicles removed. No, that's not what I meant to say at all.
No.
That's
it.
That's funny.
And
I'm joking.
And that's also, that's not, vasectomies are there when you don't want children.
Right.
The problem is there's nothing for if you don't want children now. That's a very different equation. So
that's the equation I like.
Well, you're not the average
person. I know
person.
I'm totally. Yeah, I know. There's nothing average about me.
So, no, you have to have something that is 100% reversible and almost 100% effective for it to be a viable option.
Sounds like they have it.
This is close. Well, they need to do more studies, more trials. But, like, one of the things that I found, like, my big question that I am still reading through the article, haven't found, and this is the actual...
The actual study.
They don't describe in very good detail the mood swings, because when you're tweaking with testosterone, you can get some pretty dangerous, concerning, or wild swings.
And sure, but they're also, you know, putting a lot of progestin in there, which. You know, maybe the guys were getting weepy.
Do you know that causes that?
No, but he's saying that.
Okay.
It just because they're male doesn't mean it's roid rage necessarily.
Yeah.
Don't be sexist, Dustin. I'm joking. Oh my god. Anyway, I thought that would be a fun one to discuss.
Yeah. Well, one thing I did see on that was kind of hinting on what was going on with the mood swings, because they did track serum testosterone levels. During the course of the study, they did find the testosterone levels were dipping shortly before the next injection. So
they don't have the timing quite right either.
Well, I mean, like progestin. I mean, that's a sex hormone that's involved in the menstrual cycle.
Yeah, that's what female birth control is all about.
It's the one of the ones needed for a pregnancy. Is the big thing right. With it.
So I'm just saying that it's a hormone that's generally associated with females. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that might have a not ragey, but the opposite side of the spectrum of emotional.
It is an estrogen. And if you have the testosterone levels dipping below the normal range towards the end, then yeah, getting weepy, especially if you have estrogens in your system,
you know, that men might be experiencing emotions that they're not used to experiencing. And they're like, oh, my God, what the fuck? We need to stop taking these pills now.
And women are like, what? We do this all the time. What's your problem? what we need to do is we need to come up with something that's reversible so that we can implement our zero population growth agenda and make sterility required until high school graduation. Ooh. Getting into just some dystopian future-esque stuff there.
I'd say until 21.
Was that Logan's Run? No, something. One of those sci-fis.
Yeah.
They were all required to be sterile until they...
Well, the best we have for that right now is IUDs.
Yeah!
And the...
Oh, God, it was so painful, though.
That was an atypical experience, though.
Okay.
That's true. The closest thing to that would be some kind of a fast deference block, the silicone plug type thing.
How do you pee?
Fast deference.
It doesn't go through there.
Not urethra. Wrong tube.
It's the same hole. I don't know.
Two tubes in the scrotum is where that goes. Not the urethra. Yeah.
I know. I remember learning about this in sixth grade.
Okay.
In my public education. Good times.
And maybe I shouldn't ask this on the podcast and just ask you...
Patron!
Separately.
I'm not pregnant.
That was the question.
That was the joke.
With the not on contraceptives menstrual cycle and the hormonal fluctuations and mood swings that do come with that... much of which has been identified as recently as sociological bullshit.
Yeah.
Not real, but society says it's there, so it's there.
Right.
But isn't the norm for hormonal contraceptives to actually balance that out some?
For some people, I believe it can be used to help balance out certain mood swings. I know it's used for a variety of treatments, including you know, bad PMS.
Tons of acne,
heavy periods, that kind of thing. So I think if you're having a heavy period, you're going to be pretty miserable.
Right.
If you alleviate that, your mood's probably going to be a little better for it.
Right. So you have something that on average has the benefit of preventing pregnancy and otherwise making life a little easier.
A little bit, yeah. But even when I was on the pill, those weeks that I wasn't on it, you know, those placebo weeks, I still felt mood swings.
Which, those placebo weeks are bullshit and just there so that women don't freak out by not having periods.
Women don't mind not having periods, people.
Yeah. So, that, keeping that in mind,
tell that to a pharmacy or a pharmaceutical company.
Keeping that in mind, then doesn't it make sense that if men aren't having the mood swings without it, and then those start up while on the treatment, that would make them less likely to want to continue?
Yeah. No, absolutely. If you start to go through, if you are at null and then all of a sudden you start to either dip or get manic and you can't control it, you're going to say, holy crap, this is scary and I don't want to do this. So you're going to pull out of the study. I'm just saying that, no, that's what women deal with on a daily basis. Stay in the study. for the sake of everybody, report it. You can report it. And you can even, you know, with the doctor's directions, take stuff to help balance it out. If you get really depressed or something, go see a physician. But this stuff needs to be documented, not just quit and cut off.
Well, fortunately, they did document it as they were quitting.
They have to.
Right. Yeah, they have to.
There's the exit test. But
one of the most interesting side effects they had, though, was increased libido.
Increased libido. What a curse.
Oh, yeah.
It can be, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, the side effects were nominal. I consider them to be nominal. Now, obviously, there were some people who may have been, their lives may have been ruined by it, and I'm not being very sensitive to those people.
But. There was one suicide with a study participant, but that was not attributed to the trial. It was attributed to the fact that he couldn't handle the pressures of college.
Which is sad.
And also brings up the question of the whole point that we need to not just do studies with college students.
Yeah, they've already got enough on their plate. They don't need to be screwing up clinical trials, too. But if you look at who the age group that they're targeting, it's going to be college.
Yeah. You need some college
to
students.
Middle age.
This is Dustin coming in from editing. After looking at the study a bit more, we all missed something. This wasn't canceled because too many people dropped out. It was canceled because the rate of adverse events was too high for the ethics committee that was evaluating the study, and they determined that the number and severity of adverse events outweighed the potential benefit. And that did include, with the mood swings and disorders, moderate and severe swings and disorders. So we missed a couple details, but it's awfully dense reading. And since we looked at it right before recording, we kind of rushed a little bit. Anyway, back to the show.
Good talk. Good talk.
All right, we've probably beat this one to death.
Beat this one bloody? Oh, gross.
Yeah.
You know, if we're talking about beating and male contraceptive,
sorry.
You went the wrong direction on that
The wrong one.
We've beat it enough.
Very good. We'll just leave it at that.
Not touching that one.
That's what she said.
Okay, so we got some feedback from Pittsburgh Atheist. That's at Pitt Atheist. That's with two T's in the pit. A huge thank you to at Atheist Nomads Podcast for covering my story.
Hey, you're welcome.
He's the one with the license plate, and he also said that he's going to be posting pictures when he gets the plates.
Yay!
Sweet. Oh, good on you, mate.
If I wasn't afraid of my car being vandalized.
Yeah.
All right. So that's it for feedback and no new patrons. But if you want to support
Sad
us,
face.
You can. You know how we talk about it. We've already talked about it. And I'm still going to talk about it. AtheistNomads.com. Right-hand side of the page, there's the links. And Patreon.com/AtheistNomads.
Fucking A. Do it now.
And now, just remember, not all those who wander are lost.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Atheist Nomads. You can find show notes and contact information at atheistnomads.com. Follow us on Twitter at Atheist Nomads. And like us on Facebook at facebook.com/atheistnomads. Please subscribe to the show in iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcatcher of choice, and while you're there, feel free to leave us a review. Theme music is courtesy of Sturdy Fred. Until next time, this has been the Atheist Nomads.
If you want to solve problems like
Rocco hitting his head against the microphone.